Hello and welcome back to the Tricky Notes podcast. This is Trick, and I'm glad to be back with you, sharing some of my thoughts on music and some of my favorites, and just sharing my love with everyone. So this week I am bringing you a Tricky 10, and just as a reminder, Tricky 10 is a group of 10 songs centered around a theme. And, you know, and I just 10 songs I really love and I want to share and talk about. This Tricky 10 is going to be centered around cover songs that I feel are better than the original. And what I mean by that is if I want to hear the song, this is the version I go listen to. Because there are some cover songs out there that, let's take, for example, Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You is iconic. It's important. It is amazing. And I love to listen to it. But I also love listening to Dolly's version just as much. So, you know, I'm not going to say one is better than the other because I love both of them equally for different reasons. But some of the other ones on this one, if you ask me what is the, you know, to about a particular song, I'm going to go to this version. And that's kind of what I mean on this. And I'm not necessarily saying I don't like the original in a lot of cases. In a lot of cases, I do like the original. It's just that I prefer this version that I'm going to be highlighting instead. And it's just higher up on my playlist. So without any further ado, let's get started with probably the best cover song of all time. And when I say the best cover song of all time, I mean it. When the Rolling Stone put out their greatest 500 songs of all time list just recently, this song topped the list, and it's consistently been in the top 10. It's consistently in previous lists they do. It's constantly in a list of iconic songs. And of course, I'm talking about Aretha Franklin's Respect. Now, if you're just learning that this is a cover song, that's understandable because Aretha's version is become so iconic that the original is almost forgotten, unfortunately. And the original version was written and recorded by the late, great Otis Redding. And if you know Otis Redding at all, you're probably most familiar with Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. But Otis Redding died really young. He was 26 when he passed away. Very suddenly, very tragically, but in that short time frame, he left behind such a musical legacy, which I'll hit on a little bit later in this podcast. You know, but he wrote Respect, and his version is good. It's a nice R&B song from a male perspective of getting respect, but Aretha. Aretha added so much to it. She added the, you know, really giving the background vocals, the bridge. She made it her own. And even Otis Redding at the time said, that's not his song anymore. It's Aretha's. But yeah, it's Aretha Franklin's Respect. Mwah, that is the best cover song of all time. It is iconic. It will live forever. And if you ask me for the definitive version of Respect, there it is right there. But if you haven't heard of Redding's version before, I do encourage you to give it a listen. You know, it's amazing how much Aretha took, how much Aretha added to it. And you really kind of see her artistry as well. You know, Aretha is not really known as much as a songwriter, but she definitely could arrange some really great music. And her talent just really shows and how she was able to take the original respect and turn it into what it became. So really give both of them a listen. But yeah, Aretha Franklin respect, top of the list. Best cover song of all time. Now the next cover song I'm going to highlight, is another one a lot of people may not realize is a cover. Even though it came from an album that was all covers. And I'm talking about No More I Love Yous by Annie Lennox. So Annie Lennox's Medusa album was all cover songs, all songs that she loved, and she took her own version of it. You know, she did fantastic versions like Whiter Shade of Pale, Train in Vain, Waiting in Vain, Thin Line Between Love and Hate, just all great, great covers. But No More I Love You really shines. And it was the first single on the album. And I had never heard the original. And I don't think many people had heard the original. In fact, the original did not even chart in the United States. And it only made it into like the maybe mid-50s in the UK. But the original was done by a band called The Lover Speaks. And they actually toured and opened for Eurythmics, which is Annie Lennox's former band, in the 80s. And Annie always loved the song. So when she was putting together the cover album, she, you know, asked to do a version of it. You know, unfortunately, the original by The Lover Speaks is still rather obscured. You will not find it on Spotify, for example. There is a video on YouTube. So if you know, I will be linking to the YouTube playlist, which will have that. But it's definitely different. There's a lot of things that Annie took from it. But, you know, Annie being the vocalist she is, she really sang it so much better. And it's just, you know, Annie's Lennox is just gorgeous. I mean, and if I remember right, she won a Grammy for it, for best female vocal that year at the Grammys. So it's a fantastic song. And if you're not familiar with it, it's, you know, No More I Love Yous is just a great song. You know, No More I Love Yous, Language Is Leaving Me, you know, just one of those great, great songs. So, yeah, Annie Lennox is the next cover song that, No More I Love Yous is the next cover song that I do like better than the original. So the third one I'm going to talk about, and really this artist has so many cover songs I could have chose for this list. I don't think she has made a cover of a song that I don't absolutely love. But if you were to ask me which one has kind of overtaken the original in my mind, I would have to say If. And by If, I mean If by Bread. Dolly Parton did a much better version of it. I'm not talking Janet Jackson's If. I'm talking Bread's If, which Dolly took and really gave it more character, I feel. And, you know, Bread's If is good. It's light 70s, you know, pop. You know, if a picture paints a thousand words, then why can't I paint you? It's a great classic song, but Dolly on her Halos and Horns album, and in, you know, the about 2002, takes it and, you know, gives a nice, she picks up the background music, she picks up the tempo a little bit, and she enhances the harmonies, she just gives it more character. And that's one thing that Dolly is really good at, is bringing herself into the cover song she does and really giving a lot of additional character and additional depth to them. You know, I mean, Lord knows. I mean, she's, you know, her entire career, you know, she may be one of the best songwriters and one of the most prolific songwriters in music, but she also is one of the most fearless when it comes to covering other people's music. I mean, she's covered, you know, anyone from the Beatles to Led Zeppelin to Smokey Robinson to Fine Young Cannibals, and of course in this case Bread. But her version of If is just so, her high vocal is just so ethereal. It's just, and then, you know, she adds the harmonies on top. It's just a perfect cover. This is what I love, when an artist takes something that is kind of so ubiquitous and it's something that, yeah, it's okay. It's just kind of one of those things that's out there. And, you know, nearly three decades after it came out, giving it an entire new life. And you just have to love Dolly and her talent to be able to do things like that. Absolutely stunning, stunning version of If. So gotta love it. Gotta love it. So this next cover song I'm going to bring up has been a part of my life for a very long time. And it was actually back in 1988. It was one of my first cassette singles that I ever got. The first three cassette singles I got were Like a Prayer by Madonna, Soldier of Love by Donny Osmond, and this one, Wind Beneath My Wings by Bette Midler. Now, Bette Midler, you know, this cover came from the Beaches soundtrack, and the Beaches soundtrack was basically covers. She did Under the Boardwalk, she did Baby Mine, she did I Know You by Heart, which Dolly had done on her Rainbow album, and it had already been out there for a little bit. You know, it was a soundtrack, and, you know, she was in the movie, she was a singer, and so they were, you know, you did a lot of songs that were already in kind of the public consciousness, because, you know, that's kind of the idea behind the singer. She was, you know, kind of popular throughout her career. So, but what Bette did with Wind Beneath My Wings is she acted it. It was telling the movie through the song. Talking about that friendship, talking about that important person in your life that really pushed you and kept you going. And her version had more emotional resonance than many of the other versions I'd heard, especially the first hit version, which was done by Gary Morris back in 1983. Now, he wasn't the first person to record it. There was two people before him, both Roger Whittaker and an Australian singer named Colleen Hewitt. And, you know, Gary Morris's version, you know, it was named Song of the Year by the CMAs and the ACMs. So it was a fairly big hit, top 10 hit on the country charts, both in the US and Canada. But I don't like it. I really don't like his version. I think his version is really kind of blah, you know? Lou Rawls also did a version of it, but his, you know, once again, it's kind of didn't really stick with me. You know, and before Bette did it, you know, Sheena Easton did a version and Gladys Knight and the Pips did a version. And those versions are good. You know, I do like Gladys's take on it. I do like Sheena Easton's take on it. But there's just something about Bette Midler's version that, and this may be maybe my gay speaking, but to me, Bette Midler's version just had a little bit more emotional resonance. And it could be because of the nostalgia tied to the movie. It could be, you know, any number of things. But if I were to pick a version of Wind Beneath My Wings, Bette's is the one I will go to. Basically, it's just the one that I prefer. So, like I said, I just feel that hers just has, she acts the song. And where other people may emote the song, Bette Midler acts the song. And I think that makes a difference in it. And that's why I like Bette's, and I think it's the best version for me. So now the next one I'm going to talk about, and I mentioned that I'd talk about Otis Redding again in this podcast. And this time I'm talking about Otis Redding because of a cover he did. So I'm just going to preface this by saying I have never been a fan of the Rolling Stones. I respect what they brought to music. I appreciate their influence. There's a couple songs that I can see good things in. You know, but it's just, they're just not somebody that I just want to listen to. It's just, I don't know. It's just never, their stuff has never resonated with me. However, their song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction, I have to say is a classic. But I really don't want to listen to their version. I want to listen to Otis Redding's version. Otis Redding's version, to me, really gets to the core of that deep-seated desire in Satisfaction. Otis basically growls the song. And it's like, you know, okay, it starts with that, you know, same sweet riff. Dun, 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 dun. But then Otis Redding's version brings in the horns. And so you have brass playing. And then you hear Otis just growling, I can't get no. It's, oh, you feel it so much better. You get what he means by he can't get no satisfaction. And it sticks with you more. And you understand the meaning of the song so much better the way he delivers it. You know, it's just absolutely amazing. And I wish more people knew about Otis Redding's version. Unfortunately, you know, because of him dying so young in the 60s, a lot of his great music has kind of fallen by the wayside, but you've got to hear his version of Satisfaction. And I know there's a lot of other people out there who the Rolling Stones have never really resonated with them. Because I've, you know, at least among my friend group. And when I play them the Otis Redding version of Satisfaction, it's like, I get it now. I get why that song is so, so important, you know. So it's, and you know, there's been other people who have tried to do it, but most of the people who have covered it over the years don't really get the emotional piece of it and the hunger and the desire and the, I hate to say it, almost desperation behind the lyrics. You know, especially like Britney Spears doing a version of it, that, you know, there was nothing in that really kind of resonated. It was just kind of like, you know, it didn't have any drive. Now, I mean, not trying to speak ill on Britney Spears, because, you know, she has done some great stuff, but yeah, to me, Satisfaction is Otis Redding. That he's got it for me. So the next one on the list, you may not even realize it's a cover. So let me kind of give you a little bit of history here. So I am a big fan of Laura Branigan, and Laura Branigan, unfortunately, had a really nosedive in her career, and was pretty much ignored prior to her sudden untimely death when back in the early 2000s. But on her Hold Me album, she had a song written for her by Michael Bolton, and the song was a song called I Found Someone. Now, Laura Branigan releases a single, and it didn't do very well in the charts. So, shortly thereafter, Cher re-recorded it and had a huge hit with her version of I Found Someone. And honestly, Cher's version is far superior. I'm a big fan of Laura Branigan. I love her, but let's be honest, Cher's version is so much better. Cher's version has a drive behind it. Cher's version has more of a just energy behind it that was really kind of lacking in Laura Branigan's version. And honestly, Laura Branigan's version almost sounds a little bored. And I hate to say that, but it does. And it's kind of sad because, you know, Laura Branigan actually had a huge hit with a Michael Bolton written song for her. You know, she had a big hit with How Am I Supposed to Live Without You? And that was one of Michael Bolton's first successes as a songwriter, which kind of opened the door for him to kind of get out of the rock band he was in that really hadn't had a lot of success at that point, and start writing songs for other artists. Eventually landing his own deal and, you know, becoming his own artist and, you know, and having his own success. But, you know, just gotta be honest, Cher kills I Found Someone. You know, Cher really takes it, makes it her own, gives it a lot of energy, and, you know, just when Cher gets a hold of a good song and can really work it, she destroys it, and she did in this case. So, you know, Michael Bolton later even recorded a version himself, and Cher's is still way better than Michael Bolton's version. So, you know, you got to give it to Cher when, you know, there's, you know, things, there's some things that she is just so good at, and one of them is really giving drive and energy to good songs and good material that she has. And I Found Someone, her cover version, is definitely far superior. So the next one, I've already said I'm not a huge fan of the Rolling Stones, and gotta be honest, I'm kind of hit or miss with the Beatles too. And here I am in music podcasts and two of the most influential rock bands of all time. I'm just like, whatever. No, I joke, because there's some really great Beatles stuff. It's just, I don't go nuts over everything they ever did. You know, to me, they, you know, there's some stuff that's just fantastic, like Ticket to Ride and, you know, Paperback Writer and Day Tripper. Those songs stick with me. And their most successful song of all time, as far as, at least as far as how many times it's been covered, is Yesterday. And the Beatles version is great. It's good. But that's not the version of Yesterday I will listen to when I want to hear Yesterday. And this one's kind of a weird one because there's actually two different versions of Yesterday. I couldn't decide which one I listened to more. And I looked at my listen history and I've actually listened to them about the same. My count in my iTunes. So it's a tie on these. So I'm going to talk about both of them because both of these versions of Yesterday to me are better. And they're both the ones I go to when I want to hear Yesterday. So the first one is Marvin Gaye's version of Yesterday. Now, Marvin Gaye's version of Yesterday came from an album that was called Motown Meets the Beatles. Motown Meets the Beatles. And it was literally all these Motown artists covering Beatles songs. And, you know, it's got some really interesting stuff on there. I mean, the Supremes do A Hard Day Night, Temptations do Hey Jude, Four Tops does Michelle, Smokey Robinson's Miracles and I Love Her, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas do Something, and Last Night in the Pips do Let It Be. And that one is really, really sweet too. But Marvin Gaye's version of Yesterday on this, to me, he really pulls out every bit of that emotional longing of Yesterday. And just the way he delivers that vocal and the way he slips up into his falsetto and comes back down, it is just absolute perfection to me. I don't know how else to put it. Marvin Gaye's voice on this song is just so perfect, so emotional, so right for the song. And that, that's hard to do when you are covering a song, covering a song as iconic as, as Yesterday. it's really, really a testament to, and I've talked about this previously here too. So, I talked about Aretha and I talked about Otis Redding and I talked, pretty much everybody I've talked about on this list, they know what they do and they know how to take their voice and wrap it around that melody and really bring it into a new place. And Marvin Gaye does it so well with Yesterday. And I really, really absolutely think it's definitely one of the better releases or better covers that's out there. Now, I mentioned there's another version of Yesterday, and that one's by Boyz II Men. And what's really special about the Boyz II Men version to me is it's a cappella. It's four-part harmony. And I remember when I was in high school, in the choir, we were trying to learn the vocals and trying to figure it out. And it's just such a great, great four-part harmony version. And they didn't just do it in English. They also recorded it four-part harmony in Spanish, which is also very good. So, but Boyz II Men, they got the emotions even with the four-part harmony, which is fantastic. But that's part of their trademark too. That's one of the reasons that they were as successful as they were in their heyday, because they had great harmonies, but they also were able to still have that emotional resonance as they sang that four-part harmony. And they definitely did it with Yesterday. And it's on their 2 album, the same one where they had I'll Make Love to You, On Bended Knee, Water Runs Dry. You know, fantastic album. And this is another, you know, one of the highlights on the album, as, you know, as well as those big singles. So definitely, love both these versions of Yesterday. And I had a hard time picking which one I would want more. I know I waxed rhapsodic about the Marvin Gaye one a little bit more. But there's just more to say about Marvin Gaye's. That doesn't mean that the Boyz II Men is any less good. It's just a different type of good. And like I said, I listen to both of them about equally if I look at my play count. So gotta give it to that. So yeah, Yesterday, Marvin Gaye and Boyz II Men, to me, they got it. So the next one on the list, I honestly feel a little bit funny for including it because the cover actually came from a tribute album after this artist's untimely death. So the song was originally done by Keith Whitley. If you're not familiar with Keith Whitley, he was a country singer in the mid to late 80s, died tragically of alcohol poisoning in 1989, right as he was hitting his greatest success, which, you know, so he didn't really get to live to see how much of an impact his last album had. But the song I'm referring to is When You Say Nothing at All. And the version I prefer to Keith Whitley's is Alison Krauss and Union Station's version. Now, Keith Whitley's version is great. And Keith Whitley has a fantastic voice. He sings it beautifully. If you're not familiar with Keith Whitley, he has a voice that's perfectly suited for country music. He couldn't sing any other genre. And that's not a bad thing. That's just where he is. And, you know, his version's good. But if I had to choose one, I'm going to pick Alison Krauss's. There's just something about the way she delivers it. And the kind of ethereal nature of her voice, you know, that high soprano she has, it, to me, it just clicks more for me. And I just enjoy listening to hers more. And then, like I said, that's not saying Keith is bad. It's just, I choose Allison's version first. So, you know, I mean, and the song was, you know, the song was written by, Don Schlitz and Paul Overstreet. Don Schlitz is probably, you know, one of his most famous songs is The Gambler, which Kenny Rogers had a huge hit with. And Don Schlitz was like co-writer on, you know, Forever and Ever Amen by Rodney Travis. So really, really important, you know, country songs. And this is another one that he wrote. And there was a, you know, it was a number one hit for Keith Whitley and a number three hit for Alison Krauss. It's a fantastic song. I just like Alison's better. And, you know, and Alison's recording won the CMA for Single of the Year that year. And it's, you know, it's just such a, I just love the tenderness that Alison brings to it. You know, there's just something about it. It's just, it, to me, it's just more emotional and it just clicks more. Keith Whitley's though is good. And I don't want to demean it at all. And I do encourage you to give it a listen. But like I said, this is cover songs that I prefer over the original. And Alison Krauss is definitely the one that I prefer over Keith Whitley's. So, and there's other Keith Whitley songs that I do really enjoy, and that they are in my playlist. So we might come around to him another time. But so yeah, When You Say Nothing at All, that's Alison Krauss definitely had the version for me. So the last song on the list, it's kind of a weird one because the song that the version that most people know is also a cover, and I'm highlighting a cover of a cover. So the last song on the list was originally done by a group called Delaney and Bonnie. And the song was originally called Groupie. And, it was a B-side to the main song, of the thing. So it really wasn't like main single. It was just a song. But the song, after it was originally recorded in 69, different artists started picking up on it. Back in 1971, Bette Midler sang it on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, for example. And it's that version or that performance by Bette Midler that brought it to the attention of the Carpenters. And the Carpenters took the song and really did an amazing version of it, and really and end up using the subtitle of the song as the title, which was Superstar. And to be honest, Superstar is my all-time favorite Carpenter song. I love the emotionality of Karen Carpenter's voice on Superstar. I think it is absolutely, absolutely beautiful. It is amazing. It is my favorite Carpenter song, period. But it's not the version of Superstar that I go to the most, which is kind of sad since it is my favorite Carpenter song. And for a long time, the Carpenter's version was the song that the version that I held to, that was until I discovered Luther Vandross's version. Now, Luther Vandross did his version, in 1983, but my sheltered upbringing, I did not get as in touch with like R&B music until later. And so Luther Vandross's version of Superstar wasn't on my radar until I was an adult. But once it was, there's just nothing that tops it. And that's saying a lot, but Luther, not only did he do an amazing version of Superstar, but he also kind of combined it with another cover song of Until You Come Back to Me, That's What I'm Gonna Do, which was written by Stevie Wonder, but probably the most popular version of it was the one that was done by Aretha. But Luther has this talent of being able to take a song and really drag out that emotional piece of it and really envelop you in the feeling of being in that song. And Karen Carpenter did it in her way, and her version is fantastic. but Luther's is just impeccable. And it's just heartbreaking. And you feel that, don't you remember you told me you love me, baby? It's like, I can't do it justice. It's just so, so stunning the way he just delivers on the lyrics and delivers on that emotional resonance of being left behind and the longing, and oh, it's just so, so, so good. And then you add in to the Until You Come Back to Me pieces, it's absolutely, absolutely stunning. And you know, and the album version of this song literally is over 9 minutes long. It's, and you don't mind because it's so, so good. I mean, the single version still knocked it, you know, took out the kind of the mashup piece of it and knocked it down to about 5 minutes, but the original is just absolutely amazing. And I think I read somewhere that even in like concerts, it was like the concert version would go like 12 minutes. So, but you know, but like I talked about earlier, like Dolly Parton can like cover anything and it'd be wonderful. And it have, you know, kind of bringing her, Luther does the same thing just in a different way. Like, I know there's one cover he does of a Whitney Houston song, and I feel he does it better than Whitney Houston, which that's saying a lot, because Whitney Houston can also wrap her mouth around a vocal and make, you know, and absolutely make it stunning. But and that cover he did is, he did a cover of All the Man I Need, but he changed it to All the Woman I Need. His version is absolutely amazing. So, but back to Superstar, Luther's version is just so, so good. And it's the version I'm going to listen to more often, but I still love the Carpenter's version. If the Carpenter's version comes up in my shuffle, I'll listen to it. But if I'm in the mood to hear Superstar, I'm going to put on Luther's version. And that's that.